Will you speak to us?
We can both pray.
We'll both pray.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for Simon. Thank you, Lord, for the preparation that he's given to bringing your word to us through him, Lord. We pray that you would bless him now, encourage him, give him your confidence and assurance in you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that your spirit would flow through Simon and that his words today would inspire and they would touch all of our hearts and that we would be able to learn a lot from Simon's talk today. And that we would just feel better after hearing what he has to say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm on. Yes, right, great. So this morning is our final time in the series in Peter's first letter that we've been looking at together these past couple of months. If you'd like to get your Bible and open it together with me, either on your phone or in paper copy, and if you need one brought to you, the stewards are able to help with that if you just indicate to them. We are in 1 Peter 4, 7 to 19. We do have the text that will come up on the screen, but it's always good to have it in front of you as we read it together as well. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 19. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it's time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Okay, so today, it's 10 days, just 10 days to go until the big day. The countdown to Christmas really is on. How are you feeling? Are you feeling excited? Good. Anyone feeling exhausted? Joyful. We've been thinking about joy this morning. We heard it's an attitude. You've got to choose it. Anyone feeling a bit nervous about Christmas? It's all those things, isn't it? Advent and the build-up to Christmas is a time of mixed emotions. It's supposed to be a time of watching and of waiting, looking forward in eager anticipation. But if you're anything like me, it can sometimes just feel a little bit overwhelming and stressful. I struggle to know how to reply when people ask the question, "Are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas?" I was asked that by a fellow parent at Samuel's school back last Monday, which was the 9th of December, with still over 2 weeks to go to Christmas. Now, they were lovely, well-meaning people, but I'm not sure what kind of idealistic world they live in. Firstly, I'm a bloke. Secondly, I'm a pastor. Thirdly, I'm a parent. I'm not sure that's quite the correct order of things. But regardless, somehow those factors combine to mean that if I'm ready for Christmas by 11:59 p.m. on the 24th of December, I'll be delighted. And to be honest, it's probably likely to be 24 hours later than that. Now, I'm possibly making things sound worse than they are, of course, because there are still 10 days to go. But here, in the middle of Advent, and as Christmas approaches, maybe I need so not so much to get ready for Christmas, but rather to focus on living ready for Christ. Because Advent is here, and Christmas, with Christ at the centre, is near. How then should I live ready for Christmas? How should I therefore spend my time? What should be the attitude of my heart? Now, as I read today's passage from 1 Peter chapter 4, I realise I'm not the only one reflecting on similar questions. For Peter, Christmas had already come. Christ had already come. Jesus had been born a baby. He'd grown up as a carpenter's son. He'd revealed himself as the Son of God through his preaching, miracles, and healings. Peter had walked with Jesus, talked with him, eaten with him, fished with him. He'd denied him and seen him crucified. But Peter knew that Jesus wasn't dead. Peter had seen the risen Jesus. He'd been forgiven and he'd been restored by him. He'd been appointed and commissioned by him. And so here was Peter waiting for Jesus' promised return. Jesus had taught people that after his death, resurrection, and ascension, he would return in glory and in judgment. Kathy's prayer touched on that really helpfully a moment ago. At the occasion of the Last Supper, Jesus had promised his disciples he would return and that he would take them back to be with him in his Father's house. And Peter, the author of this letter, along with Paul, author of much of the New Testament, and many of those early Christians expected that this second coming of Christ would happen soon, that the end of all things is near. And it's in the light of the expected return of Christ that Peter sets out four priorities for the Christians he's writing to. Four priorities that we might also like to keep in mind at this time of Advent, as we look to live ready, not only for Christmas, but for the promised return of Christ. Because getting ready for Christmas involves writing cards, buying presents, wrapping gifts, cooking turkey. But living ready for Christ can be summed up with these four words: pray, love, serve, and speak. Firstly, pray. Be alert and pray. Be on the lookout. Be listening. Be open and sensitive to what Jesus has to say. Because when Jesus comes, he speaks. He speaks words of truth, words of power, words of healing, words of restoration, words of forgiveness, words of challenge, of compassion, words of love. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray, Peter tells his readers. Now, being alert and of sober mind when we pray isn't simply about not being half asleep with a glass of mulled wine in our hands, although that is, of course, a good idea to avoid if possible. It's about being spiritually sensitive. Johnny, I remember, used to use a phrase about having our spiritual antennae raised, being alive and alert when we pray to the things of God, to him. Only God the Father knows when Christ will return, but Jesus himself taught us that we must watch because we don't know the day or the hour. And while we wait, we pray like those first century Christians, expecting Jesus to come. Now, I love seeing this lived out here in this place every Tuesday afternoon by the warm welcome team. As they gather before guests arrive, they also welcome Jesus and they pray and expect that he will come in various different ways that afternoon. Through the making of cards, through the eating of cake, through the sharing of conversations, the availability of a listening ear or an arm around the shoulder. I love one description I've heard of warm welcome. Happy chaos. But chaos that is soaked in prayer isn't actually chaos at all. It's living ready and living expectantly for Christ. And when we pray, Christ listens, Christ comes, Christ is welcomed, and Christ speaks. So this Advent and this Christmas, may our lives be a prayer. Starting with prayer helps us to continue in love. Living ready for Christmas, living ready for Christ, means living in love. Now, I'm sure these verses will be extremely familiar to us, but they're always great to encourage us and remind us. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Christ's love never fails. But what about mine? If I'm honest, I know I'm not always patient. I'm not always kind. I can envy. I do boast. I do get proud. I better stop there before it gets too embarrassing. I am sinful. You are sinful. The first century Christians that Peter wrote to were sinful. We get it wrong. We mess up like Peter. We deny Jesus by our lives and sometimes by our words. And so Peter writes, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We're sinful, and so we need to receive the deep love of Jesus, which covers our sin, and to share this deep love with others. I was reminded recently of the story, very powerful story of Corrie ten Boom, who a number of years after the Second World War came face to face with one of the concentration camp prison guards who had been responsible for the death of her sister. Corrie had been speaking at a Christian event, and afterwards this man came up to her, extended his hand to her, telling her that he had since become a Christian, and she recognized him. And she recounted how, despite the fact there was nothing within her that could bring herself to forgive this man, as she remembered Jesus' deep love for her, she was able, in his strength, to reach out in love and in forgiveness. And the two of them ended up embracing and weeping. Deep love. Is there someone who needs your deep love this Advent or this Christmas time? Someone who's wronged you and who needs your forgiveness? Or is there someone who needs your time or for you to go the extra mile? Maybe the extra mile might be driving some of those cap hampers round on Friday afternoon. A year or so ago, I felt deeply loved when an old school friend of mine came down from York by train and travelled back simply in order to have a curry one evening. That's not just the extra mile, that's quite a few extra miles. In another way this week, I felt deeply loved by my little daughter Faith, who's presented me with 3 homemade Christmas cards. Deep love can be simple, but it's always powerful. And it's expressed in many different ways, one of which is hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, many of you here in this church family show your love for one another in this way. I hear about it and I've been on the receiving end of it many times, so thank you. This week I heard of one particular example of hospitality without grumbling, which really demonstrates the love of Jesus. The person in question told me they'd received a phone call out of the blue from someone they knew overseas who announced that they were coming with their daughter to over the Christmas period and wanted to stay for 5 days from Christmas Eve. This person who received the call was slightly surprised, but they were willing to help. Soon after, however, there came another call to say that actually this woman and her daughter would be joined by another couple of people and that they would stay for 10 days, not 5. These people hadn't actually been invited, but they'd simply announced they were coming. Now, if I'm honest, I'm not sure I'd be as willing to welcome people in this way, but I do know that the person who's kindly agreed to ungrumblingly open their home does so out of a deep love for Jesus and their desire to share that with others. Pray, love, and serve. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Living ready for Christmas, living ready for Christ, means living to serve, not through obligation, but in response to God's grace and in his strength. And it can sometimes be a bit of a misconception in Christian circles that serving Christ should always be difficult. Sometimes, of course, it can be difficult, but other times it can also be great fun. We can serve Christ with whatever gift he has given us. And we know that he gives good gifts to his people. Gifts for us to enjoy and so that we can serve him with a smile. That said, there are times, of course, when serving involves sacrifice. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money, sacrifice of comfort or of our own preferences. But when we serve God in our weakness, it's his strength that prevails. And with a willing heart, it's amazing what he can do. One more little story, an illustration. Last summer, a number of you took part in the Love All, Serve All initiative, which was an outreach to the queue of the Wimbledon Tennis Championships. Now, there were many encouraging stories shared by those who served in this way, but one in particular illustrates what our amazing God can do when we offer ourselves in strength, we offer ourselves in service in his strength. One evening, one of the Love All, Serve All volunteers offered to pray with a Russian lady who was going through a difficult time. And after the prayer, much to the volunteer's amazement, the Russian lady thanked her for praying with her in Russian, which was indeed amazing, because this volunteer had never learned Russian and had never spoken it before in her life. But God had taken her willingness to serve and had used it and multiplied it in an amazing way. So in this time of Advent and Christmas, let's live ready to serve with whatever he's given us and in his strength. Pray, love, serve, and speak. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. What a privilege and what a challenge. Although we know that God speaks directly through his word and through his spirit, on many occasions God chooses to use us as his mouthpiece. And as Christians, what we say and what we do, how we say things, matters. As we speak to people, do the words and the tone that we use reflect accurately God's heart towards them? Are our words gracious? Do they reflect the nature of Christ? Do we speak the truth in love? Do we offer words of encouragement? Do we tell people that they're special? Do we share the gospel in words as well as actions? I'm not sure if I'm alone in this, but if I'm honest, I don't really like Christmas shopping. I can see one or two nods from there. This year, however, as I wandered round the shops in Kingston, my heart was warmed by a nativity scene in the window of the Entertainer toy store in the Bentalls Centre with the message that Jesus is the reason for the season. Here, amongst all the commercialism, was a lone voice speaking of Jesus and communicating that an essential part of living ready for Christmas is being willing to speak out for him amongst everything else that's going on. So how could we speak of Jesus this Christmas? It's not too late to invite a neighbor or a friend or a colleague to come to our carol service this evening or to any of the other Christmas services that will take place here over the next 10 days. Maybe we can speak Jesus by offering to pray for somebody we know who's going through a difficult time. Andy shared incredibly powerfully, didn't he, last week about speaking Jesus and praying for people in the hospital there. Just want to pause for a moment at this point and say, keep going. I am incredibly encouraged by you as a church family. You are a source of what we've been thinking about this morning, a source of joy. I know that over this past week there have been people praying for me, and I need your prayers. Andy needs your prayers and is grateful for them. Chung needs your prayers and is grateful for them. Many of our church family need prayers. To be honest, we all do. So let's keep going. Let's keep praying for one another. I'm not only encouraged by your prayers, I'm encouraged by your love. And I see that demonstrated amongst you too. On Friday, I made a pastoral call to someone who'd recently hurt themselves quite badly in an accidental fall. And when I spoke to them, the first thing that they said was that they'd really been struck by the love expressed to them by the church family. So thank you for that. Thank you for loving one another. And let's keep going. Let's keep loving deeply. It covers over the multitude of sins. I'm not only encouraged by your prayer and by your love, but I'm encouraged by the service amongst us. There have been so many examples of that over these past months. Big church, clean and sort, huge team effort, people coming together to serve. The huge collective effort from many of you that welcomed people at the induction service 3 weeks ago. That was fantastic and much appreciated. The commitment of all of you been serving with Christmas Journey, with our regular midweek ministries, with our children and young people, on the diaconate, serving in the kitchen, playing in the worship band, leading and taking part in the carol service this evening. It's brilliant. And as for the key-holding team, words fail me. I haven't mentioned everybody, of course, but I want to thank you for serving in all the ways that you do with whatever gifts God's given you. So let's keep going. Let's keep serving one another and the community around us with the strength God provides. And finally, let's keep speaking. Keep speaking the very words of God. On Thursday evening, I heard someone who'd gone to the hospital to visit a seriously ill relative of someone else in our church family, and they prayed with that person who then gave his life to Jesus. Somebody else had written Bible verses to give to that same person and encourage them in their hour of need. Let's keep going. Let's keep speaking Jesus throughout this Christmas time and, of course, into 2025. But before we close, just a brief word on the second half of the passage. Words which I haven't touched on in the rest of the talk, but verses that we shouldn't ignore. They're verses which speak of suffering. Suffering for being a Christian, one of the central themes of Peter's letter. Now, for most of us, the suffering that we experience as we seek to live for Jesus is probably very different to that of the first century Christians that Peter was writing to. But in the spiritual battle in which we're all engaged, suffering is nevertheless a reality. So Peter tells his readers not to be surprised by suffering. And if they do suffer, to praise God that they bear Christ's name. I don't know how easy you find that. I know any suffering I might experience is very relative, but even then I don't find it easy to be thankful for it. And I know I still have much to learn in this area. Peter's also clear, however, that when Christ comes again, he'll come to judge. And that judgment begins with God's household, those seeking to obey the gospel of God. So as we seek to live ready for Christmas and live ready for Christ's coming, let's not ignore God's judgment, but let's also be faithful stewards, as the text said, of God's grace. So finally, as we seek to live ready for Christ and for Christmas, verse 19 encourages us to keep going. Let's commit ourselves to our faithful God and let's continue to do good and live ready for his return. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come to us, born as a baby that very first Christmas. We thank you that you lived a life of deep love and of sacrifice, love which covers over a multitude of sins. Thank you that you have called us to serve you and to speak of you in your strength. Help us to do that and to keep going with that this Advent and Christmas time, so that in all things you may be praised. Amen.